Lord, we glorify your name. We thank you for another fellowship hour as we are gathered together, fellowship one with another and with you. And as we look into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, speak to our hearts, O God. Let that light shine in our hearts. Bring in revelation knowledge. Bringing light and giving understanding, as it is written, the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding. So let it be on this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning again. Good afternoon. Let's invite folks into to join us in the room. Very important topic we want to deal with today. We've dealt with this once before, over a year or so ago in this room, I believe. But from time to time, this is a consecration type message. And today we'll be talking about taming an unruly evil. What is the unruly evil? Well, it is a deadly tongue. That tongue is full of deadly poison. And that's what we want to deal with on here this morning. Let's take our scripture reading from the book of James, chapter 3. We're going to read through it, and I'm going to deal with this in a two-part series. Let's see the part that we'll cover today. In the book of James, the Holy Spirit lays out this lesson that we want to consider today. Praise the Lord. My brethren, I'm starting from verse 2, really, but I'll just read it from verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Well, why is that? Well, because, you know, the scripture says, a person that teaches and does not do the same will be the least in the kingdom. But that's not our subject today. Let's go straight to this one. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. What does that mean? I mean, how can we bridle the whole body? Well, that means put the whole body in check. This verse right here tells us that the only way to do it is to not offend in word. So we're taking this slow as a Bible study this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit will help us. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And that's how we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. You know, very, very small steering is all you need to move that giant ship wheresoever the governor listed. In other words, in whichever direction, you know, the governor of the ship steers it, that's where it's going to go. It's a giant ship, but it takes this, just this little wheel to turn it around. You know, and he says, well, even so, the tongue, though it's a little member of the body, yet it boasted great things. And behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the Holy Spirit is starting to call it out here. You know, the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. Says, so is the tongue among our members. And it defileth the whole body. and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. I mean, this is how dangerous this tongue can be. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea, they've been tamed. You know, they tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. It is full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father. You know, and therewith we curse men who are made, remember, the image of God, the similitude of God. And you, when you curse someone who's made in the image of God, you are cursing the image of God. That's right. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter at the same time? No. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Can a vine bear figs? No. And so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Well, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with witness of wisdom. So that's the lesson of the reading from the book of James about an unruly evil that's called the deadly tongue. You know, and no man, he says, can tame it. So how in the world are we going to tame it? Well, we'll find out in this lesson. But first, let's consider some other things that Jesus and the scriptures would have to say about the tongue. Now, I imagine that most people that are in this room today have read this text at some point in time or the other, or have heard it read, or have heard something said about it, but not enough, because this tongue can really be deadly. We'll look at how and what the Lord has to say about it. Matthew chapter 12. Let's take a look at verse 34 and 35. Remember, we are on the subject of how do you tame an unruly evil that's called the deadly tongue, full of deadly poison. I mean, it didn't just even say poison, it said deadly poison. I mean, that's how terrible those words can be if they don't come out with grace, but they come out with poison. Our tongue can do a lot of damage. Now, Matthew chapter 12, you know, Jesus oftentimes, he answered some questions, you know, by, you know, telling them some things. And he might even tell them, you know, a parable and this and that. So here he's talking about how this tongue and the mouth works. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, so let's pay attention to that. It's what's in your heart. That's what your mouth is going to say. Some people say stuff and they say, well, I didn't mean it. Of course you did. It came from your heart. You know. And a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things. An evil man also out of the evil treasure in his heart will bring forth evil things. Now, Behold, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, sometimes we forget these things and we just let, you know, our tongue run off. Every word that you speak, you're going to have to give account to it. If it's words, you know, vitriolic words that wound the hearers, and if it's words of grace, either way, we're going to give account. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, Holy Spirit doesn't condemn anybody, but your words will condemn you. So we are being warned here. By your very words, you can condemn yourself before heaven. And the devil will use it against you too. Now, so Jesus is giving us a very serious warning here. We'll come back to some of these things, but ponder on what Jesus said here. It's what's in your heart is what your mouth is going to say. So, guard your heart thereof, and therefore, because out of it comes forth, you know, stuff that could be a blessing or could be destruction. Now, let's see again what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15. You know, there are many of these words of Jesus that sometimes we don't pay attention to, but we need to. Because these things are very serious subject. You know, so in Matthew chapter 15, again, on this subject, Jesus would bring out some additional instructions, if you want to call it that. And let's take a look at what he says. You know, this is the place where they are asking, you know, and things about, oh, you know, his disciples were not washing their hands before they ate bread and so on and so forth. So the Pharisees, they came to Jesus in verse 1 of Matthew 15 and said, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands before they eat. You know, that's what they said. They're more concerned about the tradition of the elders. They didn't ask about why do your disciples break the word of God, the tradition of the elders. And Jesus asked them back a question. Say, I love this thing, you know, praying that the Lord give me this kind of wisdom. To answer a question back with a question. That's right. Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? You know, and he begin to tell them. So later on, he began to explain something to them. In verse 10, he said, hear and understand. Remember, understanding is so key. That which goeth into the mouth does not defile the man, but it is that which comes out of the mouth that defileth the man. Now, you may get sick. You put stuff in your mouth that shouldn't go in there, but doesn't defile you spiritually. That's right. But it's what comes out of your mouth that will defile you. You know, and so the disciples, they asked him, look, tell us what you're talking about. And he said, okay, do you yet have no understanding that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things, see, when you eat, your body will process the food and be excreted most of the time. And Jesus saying, that stuff does not affect you, spiritually speaking. Because they told him, well, you are eating without washing your hands. But he said, look, but it is the things that come out of your mouth. And that's where the tongue comes in. The tongue is how we speak. The things that come out of your mouth, they proceed from the heart. And these are the things that defile the man. For out of the heart proceeded forth evil thoughts. You've already thought it. You know, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So these things, you know, the heart is the factory for these things. And, you know, when these things come out of the mouth, that's what defiles the man, not what he eats. That's what Jesus is saying. Wash the eating with unwashing hands, that doesn't defile you. You might get sick, but it doesn't defile you as far as Jesus is concerned. But the things that come out of your mouth, if you don't get that tongue in check, that's going to defile you. That's what the Lord is saying. Now, every idle word will be judged. Jesus said it. And by our words, we will be justified. And by our words, we might also be condemned. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus was speaking on the so-called Sermon on the Mount. And we've covered many of these, many portions of this in the past. But here's what Jesus would say, you know, to us in verse 22. He says, I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say, you know, now that word say there implies the use of the tongue. You know, I mean, if you just blast your brother, call them all these foul names, idiot, for instance, you will be in danger of the council. If you call him a fool, you will be in danger of hell fire. Now, I mean, this is very serious stuff that we don't often consider. We just let our mouth run off, and be careful lest your mouth bring you into condemnation against these things that Jesus is warning. We're not paying attention. You know, how would you look at someone that's made in the image of God and call them an idiot? You know? And those people from Nigeria, you know, we have all these foul language we use against people and so forth. I mean, the Yoruba language, I'm not even going to repeat those things here that they say over people. When they're angry, I call them all kinds of things, you know. Now, those words will bring you into condemnation. So be careful now. Let such words come out of your mouth. You know, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. This is one that many people quote, but we quote it, but we don't pay attention really to what it says. But what does it say? Well, it does say that death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's the same thing that Jesus is saying. Your words may justify you, which is life. Your words may condemn you, which is death. It's all in the power of the tongue. It's a powerful, powerful stuff, this tongue. It can do a lot of good, but most of the time, it does a lot of damage if we're not careful. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now again, you know, what is the mouth here? It is the tongue. That's really what's in that mouth, you know. So keep that tongue in check, you know, keep it in check. keep the trigger in the, keep it hustled up and leave it there. But if you let that thing loose and it tries to run off, it can bring you into condemnation. Many things that people, and you can't take back those words. Can't do it. You know, when you say those vitriolic words, even if you say, well, I didn't mean it, I'm sorry, you will leave a wound. As it says in Proverbs 15, said, look, grievous words, you know, stir up anger. But a soft answer turneth away wrath. The tongue of the wise, on the other hand, though, will use knowledge aright. But the mouth of fools will just pour out foolishness. Now, verse 4 of the same Proverbs 15. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But when you have perverseness in that tongue, it's a breach in the spirit. And that deadly tongue brings perverseness to your entire being, entire spirit. Now, the warnings of God are very clear here. If you are able, by some means, and we'll look at how to tame that tongue in a minute, but if you are able by some means to tame that tongue and not offend in word, Bible calls you a perfect man. But, you know, that's a tall order for some of us, because we just let that tongue run loose, you know, but we'll see how the Lord may help us in a bit. Let's look at some of the things also that this deadly tongue can do. I mean, it can really create some havoc, this deadly tongue. Remember, James already said, with the tongue, we bless the Lord. And then with the tongue again, we curse men who are made in the similitude of God. A man's mouth, if he is a fool, will be his destruction. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 7. A fool's mouth is his own destruction. And his lips are the very snare of his soul, because he has not learned how to tame that tongue. It's going to put his soul even in danger of hell. That's what Jesus said. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. That's gossip and talebearing. Dangerous stuff. Leave that stuff alone. Gossip, talebearing, stuff that doesn't concern you. You know, Bible says, look, these are like wounds, and they go down to the innermost part of the belly. So, you know, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Now let's read a few more warnings here. Proverbs has a lot of them. Proverbs chapter 17. How about, you know, what he says in verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter, well, with his tongue, doesn't know how to use discretion, just blah, 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 blah with his tongue, can cause separation between even chief friends. So let's be careful now. You know, the words that come out of our mouth, it can be powerful to bring, you know, admonition, encouragement, etc. They can also bring grievous wounds even to the hearer. You know, let's look at all the way back to Leviticus. The Lord was, you know, telling them many things. In the book of Leviticus chapter 19. Let's consider, you know, this scripture about talebearing. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. And when he puts I am the Lord like it on it, well, that's serious business. Don't be a talebearer. What's a talebearer? You know, you hear something, you don't know the, you know, veracity. I mean, you don't even know if that thing is true or not. You carry it all over the place. Something that doesn't concern you or even concern the next person that you're going to say it to. It's of no concern to either of you. That's a talebearer. And most of the time, it's negative talebearing. You know, if we're declaring the good things that the Lord has done, that's good. But most of the time, that's not the case. You know, when people say, have you heard such and such? It's not something good that's coming out next. You know, so be careful now. Be very careful how we use those words. Well, let's take a look at Proverbs, you know, chapter 6. Like I said, this book of Proverbs has many things to say about, you know, the use of the tongue, talebearing, bearing false witness, etc. You know, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19. A false witness speaketh lies, you know, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are things that God hates. Let me read that in context. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, and yea, seven, an abomination unto him. So let's look at these seven things. A proud look, a lying tongue. You see right away, the tongue is right in there. The tongue is right up there with the worst of them. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Eventually, the tongue will speak those things out of the heart anyway. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. The tongue is playing a role in many of these things. And he that soweth discord among brethren. I mean, there's seven things here, and about at least four of them, the tongue has a part to play. The things that God hates. A lying tongue. You know, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Remember, if that imagination is in the heart, it will eventually come out through the tongue, Jesus said. You know, and then again, he talks about, you know, false witness that speaketh lies. That's the tongue again. And he that soweth discord among brethren, that's the tongue again. So out of these seven things that the Lord says he hates here, at least four of them are perpetrated by the tongue. Now, this is dangerous. And so let's be careful. Well, seeing that this tongue is so wicked and so vile, or can be, how then can we tame the tongue? I mean, let's go back to what James said in the book of James chapter 3. He said, the tongue can no man tame. Well, he didn't say the tongue cannot be tamed. He just said the tongue can no man tame. But I guarantee you, who can tame that tongue? His name is called the Holy Spirit. That's right. You know, no man can tame it. The Holy Spirit, he can. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, when people receive, you know, what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of the first things is that God gives them a new tongue. You know, help them with taming that tongue. You know, begin to speak your tongues more. You speak less with the other foolish tongue that may cause issues and become a snare to your soul. Now, let's read, you know, here, you know, what the Lord says about what, I mean, an experience that Isaiah had in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And this is one way that tongue can be tamed. Now remember, who can tame the tongue? No man. But he didn't say not the Holy Spirit. With God, there shall nothing be impossible. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one of them had six wings. With twain he covered his face. Twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And when Isaiah had this encounter and saw this glory of the Lord and all of these things happening around the Lord, his reaction was, woe is me, for I am undone, and I'm a man of unclean lips. And now, immediately the glory of the Lord began to reveal to him that his lips needed cleansing. Cleansing. He didn't talk about his eyes here. He's just talking about his lips. That's the tongue. Now, dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. You know. Now, all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord is revealing the uncleanness that's in him. And that's what the glory of the Lord does. To reveal to us areas in our lives that need to be fixed. You know, that's how you know truly when you have encountered that glory. When you encounter that glory, if your heart is lifted up, you haven't had a true encounter. You know, people that say, oh, I've seen the glory of God, I'm bragging and boasting and all about it. You haven't seen you haven't really experienced the purpose of that encounter. That encounter is to bring us into a state of brokenness so that we see how unworthy we are before the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will do what he does best. The way I've always given the illustration is to say that it's like peeling back the curtains in the house when the sun is outside and the rays of the sun come in the room, and then you can see the dust flying around. Well, the dust was there the whole time, you just didn't see it. But when you pull back those curtains and those rays come through the window, then you see all the particles flying around, and it's as if, oh, it's not the sun, it's not the rays of the sun that brought the dirt. You know, it was there the whole time. You just didn't see it. You know, that's what the glory of the Lord coming upon our lives, like the rays of that sun, will do for us. It'll reveal the uncleanness. You know, reveal the dust and the particles that are already there that we didn't see the whole time. But he will be, along with that, he will teach us how to reach out to the Holy Spirit. And this man began to reach out, you know, and when you do that, well, let's see what happened in his case. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. We need some more coals of fire today. And what did he do? He had taken these coals from off the altar. They were heated coals. There's going to be some branding here. I call it the Holy Ghost branding. The Lord's going to brand his tongue here, you know, and this is, you know, prophetic of what the Holy Spirit will do for us. Remember, Isaiah lived many, many, many thousands of years ago. It's prophetic what the Holy Spirit will do for us, you know, and brought that, the seraphims brought that tongue, you know, took, like, you know, something to pick up coals of fire, and he laid it upon my mouth, he said. My goodness. And he said, lo, this has touched
your lips.
And thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Because the man acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged his dirt, you know, that would be in his lips. And the Holy Ghost branding took away all of that. And this man became one of the greatest prophets in that Bible, you know, and all the things that he laid out, even concerning the Christ. But his tongue had to be branded. So who then can tame the tongue? Well, the Holy Spirit. But he needs your collaboration. I mean, Holy Spirit is not going to force you to do anything. You're going to have to yield to him and call upon him, recognizing, you know, this dirt that is in our lips, this deadly poison. You know, it's an unruly evil. You know, nobody can really bring it under control, but the Holy Spirit can. And one of the ways of bringing it under control is to walk in the Spirit. That's right. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 will tell us that. You know, walking in the Spirit is the antidote against the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and things like that. Well, this tongue is part of this flesh. And it's prone to cause us, you know, Bible even says, look, let not your tongue cause you to sin. Don't be rash to say things before the Lord. You know, even this tongue, it's been known to do that. I mean, this tongue, people are quick to say, Lord, do this and do the other for me. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says this. Be not rash with your mouth. Ecclesiastes 5 and 2. And don't let your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Now remember, see how he's connecting the heart and the mouth here. Your heart is what's uttering the thing before God. It looks as if it's the mouth that we use. Yes, but Jesus already explained it. It comes from your heart. You know, don't let your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Because, you know, your words, when you pull stuff out of your heart, let your words be few. In the multitude of words and so forth, you know, there's going to be problem. Here's what he says. He said, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. So when you speak too much, there's likely to be folly and foolishness in there. Now, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For God hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. So when your mouth says something before the Lord, God defines such a person that does not keep it as a fool. Now, that's a dangerous place to be. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Psalm 14 and verse 1 and also Psalm 53 and verse 1. You know, so if we allow our mouth to bring us into the category of somebody that says there is no God, that's a dangerous place to be. But with this mouth, we make vows before the Lord. Lord, if you only do this, I will do that, and I will do that. But when the Lord does the thing, do we go back and do what we were promising before the Lord? The tongue can also cause you to sin like that. You know, and that's what Ecclesiastes by wisdom is giving us instruction. Be careful now. You know, it is better, he said, that thou shouldest not vow, Ecclesiastes 5 and 5, than that thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not your mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. You know? So, this mouth, this tongue, can bring your whole body into sin. And this is even talking about another angle, but it's the same thing. You know? Don't say before the angel, oh, it was an error. Oh, I didn't mean it. Sure you did. You know, it came out from your mouth. that it was developed first in your heart. Didn't just come out like that. So we need to get our hearts cleansed so that our mouth can bring forth out of it pure water, you know, things that are soothing to the soul and the hearers. Now, don't let God be angry at your voice, you know, and if he is, well, he might resist the works of your hands. For, you know, so don't let these things, many words, you know, say in the multitude of dreams, and many words, also many vanities. But bring yourselves into the fear of God. Watch your words. Let your words be few. Does not the scripture even say, you know, be slow to speak and swift to hear? You know, now the scriptures give us the kind of words, you know, that should proceed out of our mouth. They're called words of grace. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, let, now this word let is powerful, right? The word let is very, very powerful. Cause it to come to pass. You know, take control. You got a role to play. Let your words be with grace. Don't just let those crazy stuff come out of your mouth. Let your words be with grace and with salt. Now, this is a memory verse for us today. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, because it's a good one. So let's read it together and let's learn it. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, that's not sometimes, that's always. Let your speech, the tongue is behind that, be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Did not Jesus say in Matthew 5 and 13 that ye are the salt of the earth and all that? You know, but if you are not doing the role of the salt is a preservative, it's a cleanser. I mean, it's so many things. It's a seasoner as well. But if there is no seasoning, you say, well, if the salt has lost its flavor, what else is it useful for? Nothing. Cast it down, trodden it underfoot. You know, so you can read that in Jesus' lesson, you know, on the Mount, where he was talking about it. Yeah, the salt of the earth, Matthew 5 and 13. But if the salt has lost its savor, well, it then shall be salted. It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You know, so, but the Lord is saying here in Colossians 4 that, you know, our words should be with salt. Praise the Lord. James also talks about it. In James chapter 1, verse 19, he said, look, let everybody be quick to hear and slow to speak. Quick to hear and slow to speak. I've even heard someone one day use an illustration and say, well, why do you only have one tongue and two ears? And I laughed when I heard it. Sounded funny, but, you know, there might be some knowledge in that or wisdom. You know, you should hear at least twice as much as you speak, because you only have one tongue, but you have two ears. Hear from either side, you know. So let's do more hearing and less speaking. And a lot of people who speak without thinking it through. You know, it's in your heart, but don't open the gate. The mouth is the gate for the heart, as far as what comes out of there. So don't open it. If you open that mouth, now there's all kinds of things. Even sometimes in our head, the devil may put some thoughts. You don't have to give voice to it, you know, and don't open your mouth and be in agreement with the poison that the devil is trying to put. You know how people say, don't poison my mind? Well, you know, talebearers and gossipers, they poison minds of people. They sow discord among brethren. And the poisoning the mind of people is like saying things to the other person so that they won't like the person you're talking about. I mean, what's up with all of that? People do that. You know, the intent is to sow discord among brethren. You know, when you go tell, you know, a third party something about someone else, which doesn't concern them in the first place, and it's something unsavory, you know, it's the intent is so that they will develop, you know, some dislike to that other person. In that case, if you accomplish what you sought, you know, how to do, then you have sown discord among brethren. And the Lord is warning us about all these things. Let every man be slow to speak and swift to hear. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 also warns us of the same thing. You know, too many words. You know, this tongue, you know, it's just, you can't control it in the first place. So try to limit your words, because the more words you speak, the greater the chances of something wrong that's going to come out in there. The multitude of words that wanted not seen, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Praise the Lord. So let's learn from these things. You know, don't speak too many stuff. Control that tongue, you know, but someone that has learned how to control their tongue through the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what they look like in verse 20 of Proverbs 10. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. You know, but the heart of the wicked, which is where all those evil thoughts come from, they are worth almost nothing. Very little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many. Well, you know, it's also like a tree of life. Praise God. Well, are you going to be allow your words to be a tree of life? You know, so a tree of life, the tongue, you know, of the wise, we are told, can bring that kind of effect to people. They bring nourishment, bring life, you know. But the tongue of the foolish will bring destruction, even to their own soul. You know, so these are some lessons that we are learning here today. How do we control, you know, this deadly poison? You know, how do you do it? You know, it's a very difficult thing to do, but with the grace of the Holy Spirit, we can turn it over. See what Proverbs chapter 15, you know, talks about. We've already talked about the grievous words that stir up strife, but let me read the following verses to it, because I think I only talked about verse 1. Let me read the next three verses or so out of that Proverbs 15. You know, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. Well, But the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good that's coming out of your mouth. The Lord is beholding it. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. You know, for perverseness, there is a breach in the spirit. I think I read that, but I didn't really talk about it. A wholesome tongue can be like a tree of life. You say the tongue of the righteous will feed many. Can even bring healing, you know, and soothing to those that are in distress. If we know how to let the Holy Spirit help us to control that tongue. Praise the Lord. So, tomorrow, by the grace of God, I will deal on the effect of pleasant words. I don't have enough time to deal with it today, but I will deal more about that perhaps tomorrow. You know, but right now, we're going to go into prayers on dealing with the negative side of the tongue. Tomorrow we're going to deal with the positive side of the tongue. But today, I want to deal more with the negative side. And some of the scriptures that we've alluded to today will also have some bearing on the positive side. But I'll concentrate more on that tomorrow by the grace of God. But right now, how do we deal with these things that create problems? You know, the tongue, the words that come out of our mouth. They can be really, really dangerous. You know, even when you say you're sorry, you still leave a wound. Those things are wounds that will leave a mark. Even after they might be healed, they will leave a wound there. You know, grievous words are a wound, the scripture says. The tongue is a deadly poison. The worst part of it is we use that tongue to curse people out. And I've heard people that say that they are believers. I've even heard people that say they are tongue-speaking Christians. And sometimes the things that come out of their mouth when they are angry, oh my goodness. You know, so, you know, these things ought not so to be. Don't use your tongue to bless the Lord and then use the same tongue to curse people that are made in the image of God. Now, think about this. Anytime we say and abuse somebody, remember that person was created in the image of God. You know, so what are you doing then? Abusing the image of God. You know, no matter what they look like on the outside, they were created by the image of God, in the image of God on the inside. Whether they are believers yet or not, and you don't know that they won't be eventually, you know, but take heed to yourself and to your tongue and bring it under check by allowing the Holy Spirit to help us. Let the Holy Spirit put those tongues, you know, of fire on us again. You know, the seraphim, they grabbed something off the altar, burning coals, and they branded his tongue, and he said, Lord, your sin is purged. Your iniquity is taken away. And we need that cleansing today. We need such an experience today. If we find ourselves running our mouth off in directions that we shouldn't go, I mean, this is an area that's very difficult. You know, when people get angry, you know, especially when you think somebody did something to you, you just got to say something back. You know, look, that's not exhibiting the character of Christ. And you will find out that most people can't do it. They can't bring that temper. They can't control that tongue. But if you can do it, then Bible calls you a perfect man. If you cannot, if you by any means do not offend in word, then you are a perfect man. But the moment you offend in word, then you are not as perfect as you thought you were. So, you know, we all need to go into prayers. Prayers of consecration and say, Lord, help me. You know, let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, you know, so that I will know, you know, how to speak a word to him that is weary. We'll cover this some more tomorrow by the grace of God. But I, you know, that verse is in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. The Lord had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Well, you know, how do you do it? How did Joseph do it? You know, the compassion that Joseph had was actually what led him, you know, to become vice regent over the land. You know, it all started with this compassion. Because every day he saw those, the baker and the butler, you know, I mean, they you know, they chatted as Joseph went around in his rounds. But one day he saw that their countenances were falling. And it was that compassion to try to figure out what happened. Why are you look so sadly today? You know, that began to trigger something. It eventually led to them, you know, telling him their dreams. You know, wow. And unfortunately, it didn't work out too well for one of them, but the one that worked out well for was that power of interpretation of the dream that the man remembered later on. The butler finally remembered that. And if Joseph had not asked, why does your countenance look sad today? That would not have happened. You know, but let me be the encourager, O Lord. When men are cast down, let me be someone that will say that there is a lifting up. That's a prayer, you know. And let my words be such as will bring soothing and healing to people. Job chapter 22 and verse 29. When people are cast down, let my words be such as we lift them up. When people are in distress, let my words be such that will bring like waters that are poured over thirsty ground. Rather than using vitriolic expressions that bring wounds and a dagger to people's hearts, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to tender that and cure that through the branding of the Holy Spirit. You practice it enough, you find out eventually you learn how to do it. But it's a very difficult thing to do at first. Now let's go into prayers. I want everybody that's in the room, if the Lord spoke to you today, then let's begin to pray. Because we need to ensure that this little member in our body called the tongue does not set our whole body on the curse of fire of hell. Scriptures give a warning on that. It's a deadly poison. It's an unruly evil. And this tongue can cause a lot of havoc. Even in marriages, this tongue, my goodness, things people say to each other, it can be healing, it can be love, it can be a blessing, it can be romantic, it can also be hurtful. And use that word to hurt your spouse, the tongues, and so forth, you know, on either side can be hurtful if we don't know how to control it. And the devil will take advantage of that. The devil doesn't need any help from us, ladies and gentlemen. Don't help the devil. You know, and anytime we do these things, we're in the devil's camp. you know, it's the moment we start to say these things, well, the devil doesn't need any help. Not from you, at least. What you do need to do is destroy the works of that devil. So I'm going to pray over the room right now, starting with myself. I'm then going to ask that all of us will pray as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, you gave us this tongue for a reason. We are using our tongue today to bring the word of God. And I pray that that's the way it'll be for us. We will use our tongues to bring refreshing and to bring the word of God, to bring admonition, to bring correction, to bring instruction in righteousness, and to bring a lifting up when people are down. We will not use our tongues to be a dagger in the hearts of people, you know, that we ruin them and destroy them. And when people are down, we will not use our tongue to finish them off. The Bible says that a broken reed, the Lord will not break completely. And a smoking flax, he will not quench. Rather, he will lift them up. He will bind them up. He will bind up the brokenhearted, he said. Father, I pray for grace that we will receive the branding of the Holy Spirit upon our tongues to purge us out of this unruliness that's in our tongue, the deadly poison that's in there, in the name of Jesus. And the way of the flesh, the way, the ego, the pride of our hearts, the unbrokenness of our spirit that causes our tongues to lash out. We come against those spirits in the name of Jesus by the word of the Lord here this morning. I pray that the Lord would tender our hearts. The Lord said, in those days, I will give you a new heart. Hallelujah. A heart of flesh, and not a heart of stone. I will write even my laws in your heart. Lord Jesus, I pray, take away from us this propensity to let our tongues run wild and cause a lot of havoc many times. People have said many things that they regret, and they leave a grievous wound. I pray that that will no longer be our portion. We repent of the times, Lord, that we've used this tongue given for us to bless. We've used it to bring hurt. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. You said it's a deadly poison. It's full of, it's a world of evil. Who can tame it? We cannot, Lord, but we know you can. Well, with God, there shall nothing be impossible. Help us, O Lord. We cannot bring forth sweet and bitter from the same fountain. May our tongues be such that bring forth, you know, fresh, sweet water. You know, to pour cold water upon the purged grounds. May our words and our tongue be like the pen of a ready writer to know how to soothe people who are in distress, to bless and not to curse, in the name of Jesus. To say, Father, forgive them, rather than call fire down on them. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that we will not use our tongues to avenge ourselves. Because when we get angry, we've got to say something back. Or want to have the last word or say something back, or, you know, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm going to say something. I'm going to see my red eye and all of those things that are the ways of the flesh. Deliver us from those things in the name of Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit come on in and help us to tame that tongue and wash us clean from that poisonous aspects of that tongue. Let our tongues be like a tree of life that brings life. Let it be like seasoning to bring salt and goodness into the hearers that hear our voice in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we don't want anything that will be heaviness, that will be spot, that will be wrinkle when he says, come up here, that we will not be able to go up either, because we've harbored this iniquity in our lives, and we have not turned it over. Wherefore, said the Lord, turn it over to me, and I will help you. I will help you, saith the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Holy Spirit indeed will show us areas in our lives that need cleansing. Today you've shown us this tongue. Help us, O God. Let us not be arrogant in our hearts. He that is being often reproved hardeneth his neck. One day, the scripture says, you know, in Proverbs 29 and verse 1, that he shall suddenly be destroyed. You've reproved us this morning, Lord. May we not harden our hearts. Harden not your heart, the scripture says, in the day when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. May this exhortation today be unto us like the voice of the Lord, warning us to amend our ways. Amend your ways, saith the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord. Ye that stand and proclaim and say, this is the house of the Lord, this is the house of the Lord, we shall rejoice in it. Ye that do that, the scripture says, amend your ways. Praise the Lord. Lord, I pray for everyone that has entered into the gates of the Lord and has surnamed by themselves with the name of the Lord. According to the book of Jeremiah 7, it says, ye that enter in at these gates, amend your ways and your doings so that you may indeed dwell in this place. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.